Okay, that's sort of true.
So each county has a prefix or a folder, and then they have an IAM account. In other words, a user account that gives them read-write permissions on that. And then, so that's like a private, non-public object. And then the second item is static resources, which are like the GW map, shared code, CSS, photos, sketches. So that's the opposite. Those are publicly accessible via HTML, or HTTP, I should say. And then kind of the middle category is the raster imagery, which is also stored in the individual counties, but it's accessible to a map server. So I guess you could say it was complex, but it's also very versatile. You can set permissions on individual objects. And so there's those three broad categories. In other words, private county files, public resources, and then stuff that map server reads.
Okay. So basically that means for well if I connect that to the what the counties do, because one thing I didn't totally grasp yet is how the counties edit their own data. Do they have access to the S3 then, or do they
Right.
push it up there?
Right.
Okay, so you have set each you have this IAM kind of user for them that they use to go to their own bucket. And that's how Stephen is using the other six counties, right?
Right.
Okay, I get that now. And then, well, just to complete this, so in here, is that where would I see kind of, let's say, these permissions, or is that somewhere accessible through that interface here?
That's the IAM. So go to services and IAM.
Okay. Basically, ooh.
No, upper left services.
Okay.
And
And then I
then,
would go here.
yeah.
Okay. So it's its own category.
Then click on the left side users.
Okay. So there's an Albany, each has their own user, as you said. Click on that. Control access. This is the access key. And okay, but at least I know where to look at that. Probably that there's no urgent need to do anything there. Well,
No,
no.
you shouldn't need to, you'll rarely need to go in here, but it's important to know it's there. Go ahead and hit users again, and I can answer one of your previous questions. Scroll, the user GW map.
Oh, I use it.
You right there, yeah.
Click on that one.
That's the one that it's kind of the administrative IAM role. You had asked me, about logging in as the root user email or what the default now is to log in as an IAM user. And so this is the IAM user that I created that has administrative permissions on it.
Oh,
But
so you can also use this when you set it up correctly to log into this interface here.
you would have to, I forget if we did this when I was in Seattle or not, but you would need to, set up multi-factor. You'd have to go into your Google Authenticator and create another another authenticator account essentially before you could log in via this, which is why in that Google Doc, I'm saying it's really just easier to always go in with the root user.
Okay. So is any of these like the county users probably are not authenticated to see any of that or not kind of log in here?
No, they have very, very limited permissions. They can only access, they have read-write permissions, but only on their prefix. So they can't log into the console like you've done here, and they can only read-write to S3 buckets. They can't manipulate EC2 instances or really do much of anything else.
But in general, you were really pleased with the AWS, as I heard. There was not much trouble with the server in general. That there was no not availability is very good and so on.
Yeah, so far so good. I mean, if you need help from a human being at Amazon, forget it. But I mean, that would be my major complaint with them is that they don't respond to tickets or issues. But as long as you can get everything done working with their console, you're fine.
Okay, yeah. Well, there's only robots working there. Well, I think unless you're a user that spends 50,000 a month, like my wife's former company where she was working there, and then they probably don't have anybody to talk to because they met with AWS people every week, but it's only they spend so much money, so they had dedicated support people. So.
Right.
But they don't, it's like ESRI or ESRI, they don't care
Right.
So, okay, but yeah, I get that. That's good to know. And then I just look at here, billing console is available. Okay. And then you said, well, the EC2 is usually the Is that with the instances? So there are these two guys. Yeah, that is more similar. Probably it has many more menus than I looked at it years ago, but a lot of more options, but in general, it's a similar. So.
Yeah, read through the stuff that I wrote, that summary. And if you still have questions, let me know. But I think I've distilled it down so that it's got what you need to know and nothing else.
Okay, yeah, this is very condensed. Okay, now we talked about most of that even now, so doesn't seem to be so super complicated. So, and the other one is that these images are stored. Is that also in an S3 or is it something different where they store those guys?
It's a little complex. They are technically stored in S3, although you don't access them through S3. So you're paying for a fair bit more storage than you need there. So I would get rid of under the AMI name, I would sort by name.
Okay.
And so then I would get rid of everything except, like, say, your last one. So click on.
Let's just see whether that's kind of odd. Okay, here's the October. Okay, so this, so you would take those. No, what is this?
No, no, keep.
That is a W5. That's a different,
Right.
server.
Right. So I
So
would get rid
that
of.
one.
Yeah.
And then go up, and which one, how many would you keep? Just the one or two?
Just keep one or two.
Well, like this one. So I can, well, I can keep these two for
No,
now.
no. You just click the
Oh, this is the
one.
11. Okay, this
Yeah,
wasn't.
you haven't. Sort by name.
I've sorted it, but it maybe it doesn't sort the way I expected. Well, it does it in a. It puts the zero and then the one. So. Well, that is the newest one here, right?
Right.
So I could keep, if I keep everything else, and then so I have then October and November if I that I keep, and if I did die, right? W5 is okay.
Yeah, keep it.
Yeah.
Okay. So
And
then
then
on your actions, hit deregister.
okay.
Okay, so this is important, is the this is just like an index. And so all you're doing is taking them out of the index. You're not deleting the actual storage that you're paying for. So it's warning you of that. And unfortunately, you can't automate this into a single step. So just hit deregister AMI.
Okay.
And then go down to snapshots.
Okay. Not sure where do I see it on the left-hand
Over
side?
on the left under Elastic Block Storage. Down. Up.
Oh, this one here.
Okay, so then you have to get all the corresponding ones.
This one has.
You should sort by started.
Okay, so this is the newest one. Huh.
Right. And scroll left.
Yeah.
And just start clicking on some of those guys.
October. If I did a different one, this one is 20th, and this one 27th, and that one 13th. So I was wondering about this one. Is that seems, did I collect the wrong one? Because it says November. I didn't want to delete the November, did I?
I think you did. I can't see. You need to. I don't know if you can see the column to the right, but I can't see your
Oh, no, I
page.
cannot. It is, I don't know how to. Is this, you mean this one?
No. I'm trying to see the column to the right.
In this one here?
Yeah. So you sorted by date started, so you
Oh,
don't.
okay. Maybe it should be something else.
No, that's correct. You just
Okay.
need to find all those ones.
So that the ones I would like to leave. So if this, I don't want, I didn't intend to delete this
No,
number.
right.
But if I like just take the other ones down here, just see what it is. Here, this one is from October. There's several.
Yeah, here's a trick. It's not a good way of doing it, but go ahead and just click on all of them. You can click on the top one and then scroll down and hit shift and click on the bottom one, and I'll click on all of them.
Oh, okay. So I click on the top one, you say? Just like, oh, sorry. Like this?
Yeah, select them all.
Oh, that didn't shift. Not sure. Not sure. Oh, that now it did it somewhere. I didn't do it right, maybe. Let me just
All right,
un.
well, don't worry, just click a whole bunch of them. Okay, and then go to actions and go delete.
Okay, I just want to see that I don't delete the November one. Okay.
You won't. Go ahead and click the November one, also the top one.
Oh, you want to do that?
Yeah, and then hit actions, delete.
Delete.
Yeah. And then type the word delete in there.
Oh, they're just not sure that you really want to do
And
that.
then hit delete. Okay, so three of those snapshots that you selected, you had six selected.
Yeah.
Three of them got deleted in the green. Three of them didn't because you're still using them. So this is kind of a lazy man's way to get rid of ones. In other words, it won't delete ones that are still in use, but be careful because you could have ones that you wanted to keep that aren't in use.
Okay, what does mean in use? Because this is, I thought it was like a snapshot backup kind of.
Well, it means that that snapshot is still registered to an AMI. In other words, you still have an AMI registered that's using that snapshot.
Ah, okay. So the snapshot is always needed to run an AMI.
Well, you're not running an AMI, you're running an instance.
Okay.
But yes, to store, that's why I said that like the AMIs are really just like an index to what's actually stored here in the snapshots.
Okay. So the AMI is just a listing that makes that available, and then you start an instance of that version of an operating system, kind of.
Correct.
Okay. So let's say one just what comes to mind. Let's say in that instant or at the end snapshot. Well, how do they call it? If I would manually create, it would call it creating an snapshot of an AMI, or how would they call that?
Well, you know, an AMI is a snapshot. So you're
Okay.
creating, if you let's finish up here for a sec because
Okay. So just click on these. Okay.
okay, so one of the other clues that I've got here is that I know that the 32 gigabyte ones are the ones that are the snapshots. So if you want to just click on all the ones that were, I can't see the column where it says don't click on the six. Yeah.
Yeah.
Click on that. Keep that 500.
Okay, I have only 34 gigabyte ones.
Okay. Okay. So you can do the same thing. Go actions, delete, and it'll delete the ones that aren't in use. Type the word delete. Okay, so great. So we've cleaned that up a little bit. I don't understand why. So the 232 gigabyte ones are good. Those are the ones where the snapshot was stored. I mean, the AMI is stored in those two. The 16 gigabyte one is the AMI of the W5. What I don't get is why there is a 6 gig. So go ahead and click on the 6 gig and the 500 gig and do the same thing. See if it'll let you delete those. Okay, good.
Good. I don't know what that was then.
Well, here's the deal is that let's start at the top. I want to back up and answer one of your questions. So scroll back up to your instances over on the left.
On the left. Okay. Yeah.
Click on instances, instances. And then click, you've got one click. And so then click actions. No, sorry, I think it's instance state
Instance
up
state.
at the top.
This one? Oh, this one.
Yeah. No, it was, I'm sorry, it was in actions. Image and templates. Create image.
Okay.
Okay, so this is where you would create an AMI,
Okay.
Amazon machine image,
Okay,
and
okay.
or a snapshot. And so then you can, so I have this automated to run once a week, which is why it's important to go in and delete some of those because you're paying for them. But then, so the image name I automatically generate, and it does get rebooted automatically. But if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see there's three EBS volumes, elastic block storage. So the elastic block storage, they act just like a hard drive. So you have a file system on them as opposed to S3, which is more of an object storage. And so the root volume is the bottom one, and it has to, you can't make a snapshot without the root volume. The next one up is the 500 gig volume, and we don't really need that. So up to the far right, you could hit the X on that.
And this one?
Yeah. And then the 6 gig is just the swap partition. And so we don't want it either. So you could remove it.
Okay, so this is just the same for creating the machine image. So I could just say, okay, I only want the root.
Right.
So that was actually, yeah, that was kind of what I had in the back of my mind about this question. It was when you create this, what is included? So here is what you control. So the 500 gigabyte, is that where the database and stuff is? And
No, it's the 500 gig could almost go away at this point. The different types of volumes are either essentially a solid state drive or a spinning drive, and then there's different versions of those. But everything that's important is on the 32 gigabyte solid state drive. The 500, I had been storing, I still am, we're still using it, but it's just raster imagery. And I've been moving to put all the raster imagery into S3. But there's pros and cons to it. The price is probably pretty close to the same. The downside is the S3 has slightly more latency, but it's pretty slight. The upside is that the S3 can be accessed. It's not like a mounted volume because it's an object store. It can be accessed from multiple servers. You can use it in QGIS. You can do all kinds of cool stuff with it. So I've been kind of migrating stuff over to S3.
okay, so that is what you meant when I can open a QGIS project and it connects to that S3 when I have this set up.
Well, the biggest thing is opening a QGIS project and connecting it to Postgres. Because that was one of the things you wanted to talk about today was Dave's, the Road and Bridge project. So have you successfully done that?
To that one server, no, I didn't try that. I couldn't get this tunnel thing to work yet, so.
Okay. Well, we're talking two different tunnels there, but at any rate, you don't want to create a snapshot right now because it would reboot the server. So I would just cancel out. But I wanted to show you the screen just to give you a better perspective on how it looks.
Okay, so basically whenever I create a snapshot, it will reboot the original machine kind of instance.
Well, unless you uncheck that where it says reboot instance.
Okay, that leads me just in my mind. I was just saying, one thing I was trying to document whatever comes in the emails, and then I was like, stuff I had to explain before, like unmapped corners and all that stuff, or when we had this. And the server was down, so no new data from county. I was just looking at that. I'd probably go to the script and see what else could happen just to know to document that. So when it says in the PHP output reboot needed, what is that? When does that happen that it says reboot needed?
Ubuntu does, I believe I have it set up with automatic updates, but I
Okay.
don't allow it to automatically reboot.
Okay. Perfect.
And I think that you can. But at any rate, when it does an automatic update, and in fact, I think you need to update the posters also. But when it does an automatic update, if it's, if it loads a new kernel or something like that that needs a reboot, then it goes in that email. And so you can either ignore it because it'll reboot on Sunday, or you can schedule a reboot in Chrome tab. And I've got that template in the Chrome tab just commented out. So all you'd have to do is change the date on it.
Okay. I
But
ran the PostGIS update on Terra, so that worked well. So I can run it on Maps too. So.
yeah, so PostGIS is tricky because if you do an apt, an operating system, an Ubuntu apt update, upgrade rather, of PostGIS, it gets the new version, but that doesn't mean any of the databases are using that new version yet. That's where you need to run that script and go into each database and do the PostGIS update. And so I think you probably need to do that.
It did work on Terra. I just was, I think I didn't run it on Maps yet. So.
So, like I say, you should cancel out of this right now
Yeah.
because there's no need to.
Let's see, cancel here.
But if you had run that, it would take a while, but you would get a new AMI in the under images AMI, and it would create a new snapshot of 32 gigs. I think that one of us probably ran, created an AMI, and it might have been me when I was working on it at some point, and forgot to uncheck those extra two volumes, the 6 gig swap volume and the 500 gig. And that's why
Oh, that
under,
snapshots the 500. Okay.
right.
Okay, well, that's no problem. Well, where is then the automatic setup you have? Where have you put that? Is that also in the console that you said, okay, run this every week?
No, shell into maps, and I can show you.
Okay. So use the AWS command line for that, a setup running it
No,
as a
no.
script. Okay.
You're on Windows, so use PuTTY.
Okay, I will just turn that this one. Okay, change. Okay, so I bring that one over.
And then just go Chrome tab hyphen E. E.
Okay, yeah.
So you can see the first one is the master maintenance. We kind of did this on one of the recorded Zooms with that Eldon was present on. And then the second, so that's the main one. You can see it runs 5 nights a week at 2 a.m. And that's the one that then walks through each county and calls their individual ones. And then the second one that runs at 2300 is this river reservation project. And I their season is closed. It closed on October 30th. This runs the trip charges, in other words, the credit card charges. But I noticed on the first or second that somebody had run some more credit card charges through, apparently for trips that they hadn't already paid for. So we'll leave that in place for a little bit. You can ignore that stuff. And then the third one is where you can see that at 1 a.m. on Sundays, there's a script there. Okay. So you can go Control X.
No. So what was that? Actually, what was it? What does that do?
I don't know, just Control X.
Doesn't do anything. Not sure.
So hit no. I don't know what changed.
What did you want to do?
I
Control.
just quit that and then I'll show you the shell script.
Oh, this one should actually, this one should. Oh, that exits. Control X exits.
Right.
Okay, you just wanted to go here. Okay.
And then go CD. Just CD to home. So CD, hit enter. And then CD bin. And then LS. So, are you familiar with the home bin directory?
Not specifically, but
It's where a user keeps, for in my case, shell scripts primarily.
okay.
And so this is there's some important shell scripts in here. That MS3 mount, S3 is in here.
Oh, that's the one you mentioned when I forgot
Yeah.
that we had that and I did it manually.
And so this is where main.sh is. And then if you go nano, create, and then just hit tab. And so this is to answer your question. So we set an environment variable that gets the instance ID that's actually running, and then it's the AWS command line stuff. So it's AWS. I think we kind of did we go over the AWS
A
command
little
line?
bit. We mentioned it. I don't know how much we did about it, not too much, but I know that there is this installed and it's the AWS command line tools and
Okay, so the important thing is the I can just barely see this
maybe we could make this bigger.
that
Let me see if that does that work. No, that doesn't. I thought it would. Let me just not reset, change settings. I think I have to.
don't worry about it. If you can see it, I can see it good enough. So where it says block device mappings.
I just make it, I found it because I can just make this a little bit bigger.
You see the line that says block device mappings?
Yeah, so like here.
And so that's where we exclude dev SDF is the 500 gig volume.
Okay.
And if you scroll over to the right, we'll probably see the swap one.
I don't know how to lift this. Wrap the lines. Okay. No device. Dev SDI.
We don't have an eye mounted right now, but at one point I did.
Okay, so you give it specific parameters here to exclude in that big drive, just as we did on creating this in the interface, user interface, you showed me that, and then this is the same.
Right. So anything that you can do in the command at the command line, you can do in the console. Anything that you can do in a console, you can do at the command line.
Okay.
So again, you don't need to worry too much about creating instances because we're I'm sorry, creating snapshots of the instance because it's already scripted.
Okay, so if I started an instance of such a snapshot AMI, then I would have the root with the 32 gig thing come up, and it wouldn't have the 500 gig and that other smaller drive.
Right.
compared to the running instant at the moment.
Right.
Is there anything, is all setup automatic, all services start, or is there anything you need to do manually if you would start anything like that?
No, everything will start. I mean, there's edge cases. If you launched it into a machine that had very limited memory, Postgres wouldn't start because I think I've allocated 2 or 4 gigs for Postgres. And so if you launched it in a machine with 1 gig, that would probably fail. But no, generally it's pretty easy.
Okay. But did you ever have to use any of these snapshot backups for any reason or?
Very rarely. It is a form of backup so that if you needed to fetch a file, like let's say a county had a problem and they needed an old shape file, you
They
could,
overwrote it or something.
yeah, you could, potentially go back. But most of the stuff's on S3 anyway, so that's not a really good example, but it's a backup. So if you
Okay.
needed something off of one of them, you would launch that machine and shell into it and fetch whatever you needed. But no, I mean, frankly, you could set this to run once a month instead of once a week. It would probably be fine.
Okay. So the way as is just to start the as an instance of that and then get something out of it. There's no way to extract out that out of this compressed dump or something.
No.
Okay.
Well, yeah, you can, but like
It's more complicated than it's worth.
if we go down that rabbit hole, we'll never get done with
Okay, no, I don't. I just wanted to know. Okay. It's
it.
possible, but not needed. So,
It's definitely possible, but beyond the scope of what we have time to talk about today.
yeah, we don't need to. Just want to get my bearings, what it is. So, no, that sounds all good. So, I could just go exit on that one. Is anything you put in the bin directly then automatically in the path, or is that not?
Right.
Okay.
That's the beauty of having a user bin, is that it, in other words, like the W5 will shell you straight into the other instance. Upgrade PostgreSQL, Eldon looked at that. I forget what ShareAMI does. Rockspring will shell you into their server. Request by IP, I use a lot when I think there's scraping. And so it'll sort through the log files, the Apache logs, and give you a listing of all the requests that came from that IP address. And so if you see multiple requests, if, like for documents coming in 1 second apart, they're trying to scrape. PGCC is connection count. Postgres connection count, it's not too important anymore, but anyway, you can examine any of those, and they're all like really short, just a few lines, or a lot of them are just a single line, and you'll see what they do. But
Okay.
it's quite convenient for repeated tasks so that you don't really have to remember the
Okay, and then
details.
so that is the reason the main shell is in here when you mentioned that when I'm in this county directory, you have a maintenance for that specific county, and then that's why I would pick up the general if I forgot the dot.
Right.
Okay, I have the big picture. That's good enough. Okay, so is there anything left on that, or should we go to the next topic?
I think we should keep moving along because there's a couple things that are probably pretty important.
Okay.
I think what else, I forget what else you were talking about, but I know we got, I mean, do take a few minutes and read that shared doc because
Sure, of course.
I think I kind of have the important stuff in there.
I will read that again after this. I almost read it through while we were talking. No, that makes sense. Okay, I guess we could move for now to this Teton Roads thing, maybe. That was one thing I. So if I go to, because there's so many projects I looked at, looking at, the URLs. So some of them have map and others have map server. That's why I needed to know which one it is.
Right,
So
so you understand that, right?
I didn't understand why it was map here and then their map server there. Was it because there
Because,
were more things here that you needed to?
right, if it's a county where we're doing more than just a map server, in other words, clerk's records or treasurer's records or something like that, then it has to be the county and then map server map. If the only thing we're doing for them is the map server, then it's just map.
Okay. So if I go to that one, well, that is a snake river. Why did I click that one? I wanted to go to this one. So I can look at that thing. And it has a roads tab. Yeah, I didn't really look at that yet.
Well, why don't you start by zooming in where you see a bunch of stuff?
Like here.
Sure. Actually, zoom in, pan over to the left, that road where there's a bunch of blue dots. Zoom in
This
there.
one here.
Yeah. No, pan to the right now, to the east. Okay, and then zoom in some more on that road.
Like here.
Pan, go south a little bit. Go south just a little bit more. Okay, so if you look at the legend, you can see the blue lines are culverts. The green line's a retaining wall. We've got a guardrail and we've got signs.
Okay, so that was one of the emails when he asked about this post that they moved and right,
Right.
the
So
signs.
go ahead and click on some of those assets. Okay, so you can see that you've got a culvert. Scroll on the right down. Hold your. There's no way that I can manipulate the mouse, is there?
Okay, what should I do?
I was just asking if Zoom let me.
Oh, yeah, it would. Well, one second. You could show one second. I just need to say, what is it? Remote control. So did it say anything? I just said give control to you. Did that give you anything?
Yeah,
Oh,
okay. So I'm gonna hold the control key and drag a
okay.
rectangle.
Then it selects everything below,
Yeah.
or it shows.
So here we've got it. We picked up the county road, and so we get a scanned a link to a scanned road map. The next thing that it picked up was the wall, and that's this greenish line here, and it's a retaining wall. You can see it's he's got photographs of the three ends of it. And so we can also click that and then see how it switched to the roads tab. Okay, so that's this specific retaining wall. And he can, view the photo. He can delete the photo. He can add a description. He can upload additional. And most
Okay.
important, is that he can add a maintenance item. So, I shouldn't be adding this anyway. You get the drift.
Okay.
So then I picked an area that had a lot of assets, but you can see he's got guardrails and it's the same deal. He's got pictures of the ends of the guardrail. And we can also go in here, and the cost stuff is can be fairly important for him for budgeting purposes. Doesn't look like he has anything on this one yet. So I come back to the map tab, and then you can see that he's got a culvert here. So there's the inlet, there's the outlet. Let's see if he has anything on it. So again, if I click on the detail, it switches to the roads tab there. And he hasn't done any maintenance on this yet either. And then you get to the regular ownership info here. So on the assessor toolkit and the roads one, generally what we do is we add a tab. It's either the assessor tab or the roads tab. And then generally there's a drop-down menu, and it has all the various tools that are available. And I think I documented that in the shared Google Doc, that the options that would go in either this or in the assessor toolkit are all defined in the supplemental.php.
I at least remember that you said something in an email or something. Is that in which document would that be? If I go here to my docs documentation, so we
I
have
think I was just throwing it all on the to-do list.
on the to-do list as well.
Yeah, it's in the different map server apps URLs.
You still see that screen?
Yeah.
Okay, here it's wondering. So this stuff is similar to, like, all these photos are also in three S3 probably, just like the other stuff is.
Yeah.
Okay. And basically you develop that from in a similar way than the SSS tool, just having different options and some other bells and whistles. Bells and whistles.
Right. Right. So if, I don't know if I can still drive, but
Oh, well, let me see. Go back to this map. I don't know. Can you, or did I take it away by moving my mouse? I'm not sure. No, you can. I see.
yeah. Okay, so the top level menu here, whatever is in here is defined in that supplemental dot PHP. And so most of these guys are kind of like what we already looked at. In other words, you can either click on the map and get to the guardrail, or you can select guardrails from a list. This is the kind of thing where for costing, he needs to go and see what how much he spent on a guardrail. So he can, so Heck of a Hill is a road, and so he can then map it. And then we zoom to that. To that specific asset.
Okay, so that's
And
it. Well, that's one question. The initial listing when you choose like culverts or anything under the roads tab, is that always querying everything or just what in the map extent is, or
everything.
okay.
So, in other words, the first thing he does is he goes, I need to look at my bridges. And so they're always organized by road. And so Mosquito Creek is a road. And so this is the bridge that he's interested in. He's got some photographs of it. If he wants to zoom to it, a little bit hard to see that bridge there, but
Okay, yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah, well, that's pretty
Okay,
good. So
so
when you would click delete, would it delete the entire asset or only the details here?
if you hit this delete, it would delete the asset. If you hit these deletes, it would delete the individual photos. So where all this stuff is
One
coming.
second, I need to talk to Trang. She has some trouble. Just 1 minute.
Yes.
What was it? Oh. Okay, so yeah, I helped her to just fix something. Okay, we can go on.
So, there's two kind of important additional options here in this menu. GIS data upload. So if he has gone out and used his GPS to upload mapping, the first thing he has to do is pick the road that it goes with. And then he could pick his GIS ASCII data file, and then he can pick all of the photos that he took. And that specifically is photos that he took with this survey grade GPS. I'll show you the other one that he's got. And so then you would hit upload files to asset manager. And if it works, they will show up on the map immediately. If it doesn't work, he will almost certainly email us.
Okay.
It's fairly complex. In other words, it's transforming the lat long from an ASCII file that's uploaded, and then loading that into PostGIS along with the attributes that are in the file, and then by virtue of the ID number that each asset gets, it can associate the photos that go with that asset.
Okay, wow, that's quite something. Okay.
Then the other version of it is a simpler one, and we call it sign upload. This is not with a survey grade GPS. This is with his phone. And so, you can geotag JPEGs. And so the signs don't need to be perfect. We don't, need a survey grade mapping of them. So it's way faster. He can just go take a photo with his phone, use the phone's position, and same deal, they'll show up on the map.
Oh, so are you reading just from the image file some of
In
this?
this, yes. For this one, it's just the image, it's the geotagging in the JPEG. For this one, it's a much more rigorous survey grade, and he can collect attributes. So, like if it's a culvert, I don't want to get into it because we don't really have time, but if it's a culvert, he can have the diameter. And then this, I forget, he can put in the type, like a corrugated metal pipe is what we've been looking at, or a bulk box culvert is the other common one. And then when this runs, it does a whole bunch of stuff. It actually calculates, like if it's a culvert, actually, if it's a culvert, yeah, I think that's probably the only one. It calculates the length, and then it also will do an intersection. So, these red dots are signs that he uploaded from his cam from his phone.
Okay, I think he asked about one to be moved, and you said something, you found a shadow and moved it there. Is that usual that they ask you do to edit this, or do they edit their own?
Oh yeah, you do have to you have to set up that QGIS project. And yeah, you will have to do some editing. In other words, you have to connect the dots when he does a culvert, or if he does a linear feature, like here's a guardrail, okay? You can see the brown line, and then you can see the posts in the shadow. And so, yeah, you have to connect the dots. And I mean, the first thing, before we get too much in the weeds with this, I'll show you. What I was starting to say is the one other thing that it'll do is he would shoot the two ends. He'd use his survey grade GPS and shoot the two ends of this culvert. And he would put in, in his GPS, he would put in the culvert type is CMP, corrugated metal pipe. And then he would tell me he'd map the culverts. I would go into QGIS and connect the dots. And then once I've connected them, it'll automatically connect. Oh, and he puts in the size, I'm sorry. So he's going to put in the type and size in the field, and that'll be in the ASCII file. And then when you or I have drawn the line between the two dots, we run a PostGIS query, and it'll calculate the length between the two dots. And then it'll also, the milepost is coming back to the map, the linear distance down this road where it intersects. So we do a PostGIS intersection of this blue line and this gold colored line.
The road center kind of.
Right. And so it automatically calculates those after we manually run the SQL script, and then it'll calculate that. But you've got to get that post or that QGIS project working before we get into any more detail on it. How are you connecting to Postgres on maps right now?
The Postgres, I can connect this pgAdmin, and I've set this SSH tunnel.
So you're using the SSH in pgAdmin?
Yeah, I think it was a little odd for me to set up because once you have the tunnel, then it reacts, to my understanding, as if it is a local project, which I wasn't super familiar with, but that did work. Let me just.
Yeah, you need to
Yeah, there's an HHS. This I should save this. I'll see if this does. Maybe that doesn't work. I don't know. Yeah, I can connect with this SSH tunnel if that.
so you that's not going to work in QGIS. Because QGIS doesn't, in at least to my knowledge, a Postgres connection in QGIS doesn't have this option to configure it with the SSH. And so what I do in Linux is I have just a one-line shell script that creates the tunnel. And so in Windows, you'd need to create a corresponding batch file and run it, which opens the tunnel. And then when you open the QGIS project, it'll connect to the database on maps.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that that was Gary Sher you know Gary Sherman
Yeah.
from so basically some years back I had him create a plugin for QGIS, and those guys had edited it. They were doing basically what the Rhodes guys do. They wanted to edit in the field in QGIS or in the office, and then it needed to pick up if it was a remote connection or not. But there was something with SSH tunnel. But yeah, I tried to create a batch file and make that work.
Do you want to look at this in more detail, or do you want to move on to connecting do the RDP stuff?
Well, I should probably look around by myself a little bit. So in general,
I mean, I think we should come back to this, but I think you should. I think before you and I look at this together, you should get the QGIS
okay. Yep,
project
makes sense.
going. And so, if you'd like, I can show you a little bit more detail on how to set up QGIS with that tunnel. Or if you want to just do that on your own, we can move on to the RDP stuff.
Maybe we can do this RDP stuff and I can fiddle around with that tunnel thing because of.
Okay. The only other thing I guess on our on tunnel is you can use whatever port you wish, but if you use 5553, it'll be easier because my QGIS projects are all set up to use port 5553 for maps.
Okay. Okay. And then if I open any of these county map files, it would be the other thing. It would be connecting to S3 storage. That's or is that not going to open if you have it set up correctly?
If I, you're talking about the maps, the map server, map files?
I'm talking about the counties that are editing their own things. So I could see those projects only on their server, or could I open that in a similar way locally and then just connect to the S3 version of the shapefiles?
Well, yeah, I do have QGIS projects for every county.
I think you shared one of that, right? Or was that the Teton Roads? I forgot.
Well, yeah, that would be one of the ones. I mean, before you can use any of the QGIS projects, you got to get the Postgres tunnel working.
Okay,
And
yeah.
then the projects, you don't read. You don't access shapefiles that are stored in S3 directly
Okay.
you in QGIS. When I mentioned that you can access the raster files, that's a little bit different. And yes, you can. The raster files aren't such a big deal for you. That's just the imagery. But some of them I do have set up to read directly from the S3 storage. Generally, what we're doing with the S3 with the shapefiles, where the county maintains their own stuff, is we're reading directly from the S3 straight into Postgres. Or if it doesn't go into Postgres, we're simply copying from the
Okay.
S3 to the local file system.
Okay,
But
so that is the way Stephen is doing it. He's getting this local and version, and then he puts it up on S3 when he is finished editing.
correct. That's what they're all doing.
Okay. So that's just rounding this up. Okay, yeah, makes sense.
Okay. So I think, we should probably, schedule another session when I get back and look at the QGIS stuff. And if you can get that set up with a Postgres connection, that's the main most important thing.
Yeah, we'll do.
And then we can drill down a little bit more on that road and bridge stuff, and it'll give you a more more familiar environment for you to look at some of the different files.
Okay.
So were you able to get into Sublette County?
Oh, which one was the one, that was the one over the internet, right? The
Over the
internet
VPN.
connection, that worked. I couldn't get it to work with my local VPN installation. You know what is the name of that again? 40 client thing.
Yeah.
Over the internet, I got to the command line and I could see the interface.
So were you able to remote desktop into their server?
Using the web interface, yeah, that was. I have to. Do we want to try to go there into
Sure.
that one? Okay, let me just see where the email is where you send us links and stuff. Okay, what is here? Okay, well, let me see. Here's my stuff. So many emails. Well, it's kind of tough to VPN. There is all that stuff. Let. Don't see it online. County. Not sure where that is in. VPN. Oh, here. What is that? Here's one. Let's see this one. Okay. Can you see that web, this web interface? And then when I go here, I think I needed to put the name in here. It was RDP, right? And then here I put, you sent that to me. Where do I have
I
that?
think it was VPN.
Oh, you know what it is?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, VPN dot sublet county WI dot gov.
VPN. Oh, that's the same thing, this one?
Probably.
Because I am gov. I have that somewhere for it. Standard. Okay, just leave it. Oh no, this wasn't exactly the way. Maybe I'd look in my documentation there because I put it in. You sent it to me somewhere. I just get to check in. Where is this? G-g-g-g-g. And SVN, VPN, county remote access. So I got this information. Bighorn sublet. Put in that one. I had to use this internal IP address somehow.
Right.
Okay. So I think you can change the resolution that we are in.
That's fine. I can see it.
I was just looking at some batch files there when I looked in. So.
I just shared another Google Doc with you that might help a little bit with setting up tunnels in PuTTY. Let me think. What do we want to look at here? Why don't you just close the notepad?
Okay. This, I don't want to close the whole thing. Oh no, this is closed. Is this that one? Okay. It's smaller here. Let's look around. Command line. So in general, we have here a local disk. So you have the Greenwood directory.
And then scripts. I mean, you're familiar with Windows Task Manager, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so again, the naming convention is maint, as in maintenance. And so that batch file, that was what you had open just a moment ago.
Okay.
And so then the things to look at. So if you're troubleshooting this, let's say that you get another message that says that the data hadn't transferred from the county that night. Then, you can, I guess the first thing I would do is I would come here and I would go to the scripts directory and then double click in the logs directory and double click or open main.log or
Okay.
and see if you start seeing any errors in here. Since it's ran last night, we shouldn't see any errors. I guess the other thing I just look at is the timestamp on it. Did it run?
Yeah.
If it didn't run at all, I mean, the first thing what we ran into
Okay, here's
was that we couldn't get to the server at all.
yeah.
So it turns out the server was down. So assuming that you can get to the server, then look at the logs and just look at the timestamp on the log. Did it even run? If it didn't even run, then you can open Windows Task Manager and see if you get any clues in there as to why it didn't run, like if that user account had been discontinued or something. So if it ran, you can, why don't you get rid of Notepad++ for a moment? And if you look in the, you can use the file manager. And so if you go to dump, then you could look like Assessor ASR is the main one that we're checking. And so account.txt, the top one, is the one that we want to see. And so it'll like today's the fourth, okay? So this evening, sometime after business hours, the dump will run. And so we'll get a table or a text file there called account.txt that'll have a November 4th timestamp on it this evening. And so then at 2 a.m. tomorrow morning on the 5th, our server will look in the S3 bucket and it will check to see if account.txt has the previous day's date, November 4th. And if it does, it's happy. If it doesn't, it tells us. And so if we come here and we saw that account.txt did indeed have a November 4th date on it, but we went to the S3 bucket and saw that account.txt was still November 1st, we'd know that it failed to copy. In other words, the script probably ran. It probably dumped out all the text files, but it then failed to get them copied to the S3 bucket. So in other words, we start at the beginning, like, is the server up? And, can we remote into it? And then we can look at the logs and we can look at the files and see if it actually ran or not.
So kind of the processing chain, what works after one another, and then find the missing or the failing link. Like it could be, I don't know, if the S3 wasn't, if it wasn't copied to S3, then maybe some network issue or something, I don't know.
Right. And again, the logs will help you see that. I mean, we're looking at one that didn't fail, so logs aren't telling us much, but so that's kind of the way you would work forward,
Okay, that makes sense to me, yeah. Is there any trouble in general with these servers? Do they have like weird Windows updates and that troubles sometimes or not so often?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, sure. Just about everything. I mean, when that CloudStrike thing went down, Carbon County failed. They got hit by it. These are VMs, so sometimes they get hung. Sometimes they're doing database maintenance. Like a typical scenario might be that the Department of Revenue is doing an update on the SQL or the Oracle server. And so when we tried to access it, we couldn't. But then again, we're going to see pretty quick, like, that we didn't have the previous day's files in there. And, then we can contact the IT director. And, but keep in mind, these IT directors aren't very smart.
Really?
You've got to try to narrow down the problem as much as you possibly can, and ideally even tell them what the solution is.
Oh, okay. So they are not necessarily the big specialists.
No. I mean, you're talking about small Wyoming rural counties. They're not attracting the sharpest pencils in the box.
Also, probably doesn't pay a lot. If you had a lot more technical knowledge, you might get paid better somewhere else.
Well, yeah, and they have to be a master,
Of
a
many
jack of
things.
all trades and a master of none, because there's such a wide range of things.
Okay, I get that.
So the one that had come up was Bighorn County. She was so I on this one, I would go ahead. Actually, it looks like I can still drive. And I would go ahead just as a best practice and sign out. I'm glad you got this working. The Bighorn County one,
Yeah,
that would
there I
be.
documented something that didn't work for me to get in yet, but I stopped at some point and didn't wiggle further. Where is that? I had this on the. Is that on my other? What? One second, where did I put this? Wiki. Oh, there's so too many screens around here. Where's the other one?
Did you understand what I was saying about it being IP address restricted?
Oh, yeah, basically I have to connect from maps to make a connection, right?
Right. And do you know how to do a tunnel into maps? Or do you know?
I guess probably not. Let me just see, where's the VPN stuff? You had a document and you sent me stuff here. One second. Let's look at it. SVN commands, where is it? Remote access. Okay, so you sent this information. So you does that mean I can from my same tunnel through maps into this somehow?
Right.
Okay, I'm not 100% familiar with that. I was
Yeah.
trying
Well,
to do this.
I also shared I shared that other Google document that is sort of Windows oriented. I just shared it just now.
Oh, right now. Okay, let me see. Let's see. I don't know why. What is
Do you
this?
want
Sure.
to?
Yeah.
It's kind of like lunchtime for me. Do you want to? And I need to get out a little bit this afternoon. Do you want to pick up again later today?
We could, if that works for you better. I don't know, whatever works for you.
You want to try like maybe say 4 p.m. your time?
Okay, well, let's do that then. Let me check. There's nothing on the calendar today, is there? No, I have nothing scheduled today. That works.
Why don't you see, like I said, I'm not a Windows expert,
Okay.
and there's two places where it's going to be really important for you to get a tunnel working.
Okay.
And why don't you see if the shared doc that I just sent you, whatever it was. I just sent it to you a moment ago.
Yeah.
Why don't you see if that helps you get a tunnel figured out with putty? And then we can go into Bighorn County and look at it together. And you need that. The two places you need the tunnel are to open any of the QGIS projects for any of the counties. And I think that those will be helpful to you. I think, and maybe even essential in the case of the road and bridge project. I mean, the edits are really easy, and it was quicker for me to do that last one that he sent for me to just do it than to try to get everything set up with you. But of course, eventually we want to move on from that. So to open a QGIS project, you have to be able to tunnel. And then on a few of these remote desktop connections, they restrict it to just one specific IP address. And so the easiest thing for me has been to set up to use the tunnel and tell them to grant control to the MAPS IP address. If you've got a static IP address there, you can ask the IT director to add your IP to it, but we know that the IT people can be really slow responding. They may want to have a contract, they may want to have an agreement. And if we've got a fire that needs to be put out, it's more important for you to be able to get access quickly rather than just tell the client, hey, your IT guy isn't letting me in. The other reason it's really handy is that if you're traveling, if you got the tunnel to MAPS, then you can be in Germany or I can be in Utah and we can still RDP in and frequently it's just a 2-minute fix or it's just a quick look like, okay, it didn't work, or whatever. So why don't you see if you can get anywhere with that, and then we can troubleshoot it together. And if you can't get it to work, I'll take control of the Zoom session and we can remote in and try to get an answer to her question about the addressing. But let's do that at 4 p.m. your time.
Okay, let's do that. And then the other thing was, I probably this week should figure out who hasn't responded to the contract stuff and then send probably out messages to all the IT people to get access or something. Or would you do that? Do you think I should do that to all of them?
Yeah, you should keep you should keep after it. I mean, I think it's also fair to, I mean, they're all different, but I mean, I think it's fair to say, hey, look, I've been supporting you for, I mean, if they've paid you, don't worry about it. But if they haven't paid you, I guess that would be the way to look at it, is if you've sent them a bill and they've paid it, then don't worry about a contract. But if they haven't paid you, then I'd say, hey, look, I sent you an invoice on such and such a date, and also keep in mind that the commissioners have to, the department heads that we work with can't sign the checks, or technically they're called warrants. The county commissioners have to sign the payment, and some of them, I don't know exactly how it works, but some of them send out the payment like right away. Some of them only pay once a month, and if you bill on the very last day of the month, it won't get paid, it won't get signed until a month later. So give them like 40 days. Like some of them you'll get paid right away, and some of them only issue payments once a month. And unless you bill like several days before the end of the month, you won't get paid. So I think that's what I would do if I was you, is I would go through and look at all the ones that you've sent an invoice to, and maybe give it a few more days. Like commissioners' meetings are the first and third Tuesday of every month. So tomorrow will be the first Tuesday of November. And so, like, for example, like Converse County and Johnson County, they probably only sign vouchers once a month. And so they will probably sign them tomorrow, in which case you might get the payment at the end of this week. But I think that's where I'd start, is who has paid and who hasn't. And then if by next week, you've got folks that haven't paid and you don't have contract with or anything, then it would be fair to follow up and say, hey, what do we need to get the ball rolling on this? Do you want a contract? I need to get paid. I've run the map server for you for a month now. And kind of base it on that.
Okay, then I know what it is. So three quarters haven't paid yet, so we'll see.
Well, some of those may just show up like later this week. Some of the, like I said, Converse and Johnson are two that I can remember were always late. I mean, and it's not that they were late, it's just that they only issue checks once a month. Some of them are different.
Okay, let's convene at 4 then. Thanks.
Great. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, we use the same link just. Okay, bye then.
Very good.